Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Studio Gerald Coon Review on this 16th of May 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to and find me at Instagram at Real Gerald Quinn, or go to Twitter at William Gerald. Rate and review the program at iTunes, iTunes.apple.com. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinn. Again, we prefer 5 stars, but we'll take four will do. We're just less than 60 minutes away from the beginning of the Western Conference Finals. Oklahoma City traveling down to Golden State, where they take on a Golden State team seeking, again, a second straight finals appearance, second straight championship. And this is a series that every basketball fan, purist, known to man, has frankly been salivating over. These two teams played, without question, the game of the year in that 121-118 overtime win for Golden State, a game that, frankly, Oklahoma City should have won. They found a way to blow the game. And on top of some incredible shot making from one Steph Curry, that was a 46-point game, 12 for 16 from three-point range, and a game that he hurt his ankle in and came back. And even the other two games were entertaining. Maybe the 121-106 one, less of the entertainment as far as the three games that they played. Played a great game the night before the Super Bowl. On Saturday, primetime game where Oklahoma City, Golden State won by 8, 116-108. Durant, of course, has had his way in these matchups, but it has just not been enough as for the overall balance and depth that the Golden State Warriors have. And, you know, the thing about these two teams that you love is just you're going to see offensive fireworks. Like, these games are going to be in the hundreds. This game is going to be, going to see a lot of three-pointers, even though Oklahoma City doesn't shoot, is not great at shooting them, they're still going to put them up. And you're going to see, two of the most dynamic players at the point guard position that the league has seen in a long time, who do it in totally different ways. I mean, Russell Westbrook, I think right now, pound for pound, is the best pure athlete in the NBA. A guy who could have been a great NFL cornerback, cover cornerback, and he chose that route, or even a track star. I mean, he's that great of an athlete. And Stephen Curry, who, maybe unless you're a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which without question in my mind, the best player in the world, and a guy who, again, does it, is more cerebral in his approach, more about there's just pure skill set of shooting, ball handling, passing. He is death by a thousand cuts when you're dealing with Steph Curry. So you're dealing with two players with contrasting styles. And just like a great boxing match, styles make fights when Westbrook and Curry match up. And again, there are going to be times where you'll see more probably Westbrook matching up on Curry than you'll see Curry matching on Westbrook. I gather that, you'll see anywhere from Livingston or you'll see a Livingston maybe matching up with Curry with Westbrook at times. You'll see Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson is going to get the brunt of the duties as far as guarding Westbrook, especially in late game situations. So, again, this is a matchup that everybody's been waiting for. Oklahoma City, at some point, if you're Westbrook, if you're Durant, you need to win a championship at some point. So it's like they've done everything. Durant's won the MVP. Westbrook's won scoring titles and put up these gargantuan numbers. At some point, you got to win. Like, there is no, it's kind of like now or never. Who knows what happens after this year with those two, Durant in particular. Again, they are, to me, they're running up against a team of the era, a team who's going to dominate this era in terms of Golden State. But make no mistake about it, Golden State, you know, is the better of the two teams. But Oklahoma City has the personnel, they have the star power to beat Golden State. Now, do I think they're going to beat Golden State? No, but the talent is there. The talent is there. There's no two ways about it. The talent is there. The depth is there. It's just a matter of can Westbrook and Durant play at their peak and get some help along the way. I mean, that's whether or not, and also whether or not they can match up with Oklahoma State, with Golden State's lineup of depth. We'll talk about that. Some of the matchups. We'll talk about what needs to happen for Oklahoma City to possibly to pull off the upset and win this series. That and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. Western Conference Finals coming up in roughly less than an hour or so, a little bit after 9 o'clock. And kudos to the NBA and the NBA. I don't know how much TNT that had to do with this, but I'm sure, you know, I'll toss credit where credit is due. Starting these games at 9 o'clock, these West Coast games, that hour and a half is a huge difference. All these games, I honestly can make a case they should start them even on the West Coast at 8:30. But we'll have to do it. 9 o'clock will do. We've seen years where these games start out at 10:30, especially years where the Lakers were playing. Listen, 9 o'clock, you got to give the East Coast people a break. You know, some of these games, I've heard people who just said, "Hey, you know, I caught it. I heard about the game, you know, 10:30 at night, these games not over at 12, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning." So just a smart move by the NBA to start these games especially in the Western Conference, at 9 o'clock. You know, still late, but big difference between 9 o'clock and 10:30. Listen, Oklahoma City's going to have their hands full, to say the least. You know what you're going to get out of Durant, despite the fact that they can throw Iguodala or possibly Klay Thompson or possibly there are about three or four defenders they could throw at Durant, Draymond Green being one of them. Durant's going to get his points. He's had his way with Oklahoma City, who's going to stay over the course of the year, averaging about 36-12. Westbrook struggled against Golden State this year. In their three matchups, in particular with his shooting percentage, with shooting and shooting from the three-point range. One couple of things I'm going to be looking at as far as Oklahoma City. One is Ibaka. Ibaka has to be big in this series because I don't think that you, if you're okay, OKC, can play both Cantor and Adams against Golden State. I think that's just – they'll be too slow. Not enough athleticism, not enough just overall quickness in terms of not only getting back on the break, but even in the half court when Golden State has that ball movement, the rotation, Golden State will get open looks, especially from the 3-point line all night if those two play a lot together. Takes me to about the lineup that Golden State, that Oklahoma City, to me, has to put out there, and it has to be successful. It's going to be the Westbrook, you know, Westbrook, Waiters, Durant, another shooter, whatever, Morrow, probably Robinson, because Robinson's for his defense, Ibaka, and Durant, right? You're going to have to get, I mean, Durant can play the four in this series, easy to play the four in this series, and Ibaka at the five, being able to rotate off those pick and rolls. That lineup has to be somewhat successful. I don't know, they can put maybe Morrow, Robinson, they can rotate those, who knows what they do with those wings. Maybe you see the artist Payne kid maybe you see him from, not Wichita State, but you can, there's no telling what they do with their wings. They can mix and probably be able to mix and match those. So you're going to see a lot of Robinson because of his defense. But that Durant Ibaka front court has to happen at some point in the series. That has to happen because you can, again, they're barely going to get away with playing one big against Golden State. Again, I like Adams because he can pound them on the boards, has enough offensive talent, not to a point to where they had to give him some attention and totally not ignore him. But you cannot play both Adams and Cantor on the floor. You can't. There's just no way you can do it. San Antonio was a different matchup, not nowhere near the shooting and overall athleticism that Golden State has. Golden State goes to that lineup in depth. And listen, you can do the numbers. You can look up the numbers yourself. That lineup is the most potent lineup in the NBA right now. When they go to that Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green lineup, Draymond Green at the five, that lineup is almost just unstoppable. Lineup is almost unstoppable. You cannot play two bigs against the Golden State. It's just not possible. It's not. So look for Ibaka he's going to have a series, the series of his life, on in terms of not so much with his scoring, but with his just all around with his defense. Defensively, he's going to have to give to, and a little bit with his scoring too. I mean, he's going to have to, I would feel like he's going to have to give him at least, 13 to 15 points a game. But more importantly, he's going to have to be a monster as far as those defensive rotations. The second thing to look at is how many three-point shots is Russell Westbrook taking. In the three games they played this year, Westbrook was 3-for-18. He had a 1-for-6 game. He had a 2-for-4 game, a 1-for-8 game, and an 0-for-6 game in terms of his three-point shooting. Shot roughly about 16%. If Russell Westbrook is taking more than three threes a game in this series, going into Oklahoma City is in trouble. I would dare him to shoot a 3-point shot. Not so much a mid range. We know he could be lethal. His mid range game is great, but him shooting threes again, him getting caught up in Steph, trying to match Steph Curry, which concerns me. Tit for tat. We saw him get in trouble the last game they played and that overtime classic. Especially that overtime 121-118 game. You saw Westbrook kind of get out, kind of try to go head to head toe to toe with Steph Curry, and it didn't work out. It did not work out. So Ibaka and Westbrook being able to control himself of the urge to go tit for tat with Steph Curry. See, think about Golden State, Oklahoma City is right in Golden State's wheelhouse, not only in terms of fast pace, but that helter, when the game gets crazy, when the game gets out off kilter and chaotic, Golden State loves that. They love it. And they almost somewhat to their detriment in terms of, because they'll start turning over the ball left and right. So you're going to have to see Oklahoma City play a very disciplined, efficient, tactical game against Golden State. And again, I don't know if they can do that. I really don't. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if that's their style. I don't know if they can change it up just like that, you know, change it up all of a sudden and become, you know, slow things down, slow the pace down, make Golden State defend, you know, the 24 seconds. I don't think they're built like that. And that's the problem with this matchup for Oklahoma City. See, San Antonio would, you know, could do that style to where they can play the great defense, play the half court, make, you know, almost be like a team in football which tries to hold the ball, shorten the game, shorten the possessions. I don't think Oklahoma City is built that way. I don't. Now, some things that I've noticed about Golden State in these playoffs that maybe Oklahoma City can exploit, their defense has not been as good as it was last year. It's not. It hasn't been. Portland got a number of looks in terms of three-point range. They scored a bunch of points. But, again, Portland versus OKC, and I think they have much better shooters. And that's another thing about Oklahoma City that, you know, I fear. I think against Golden State, you have to make three-point shots. Like, you have to. Not so much match them three-pointer for three-pointer, but you have to keep them honest in terms of scoring from the three-point line. Like, it can't have a situation where they, you know, outscore you, you know, 54 to 15 from the three-point range, because you cannot, because they go to state, Golden State will not be able to make up those points. You saw the Portland series. Even if you're toe-to-toe with them, or if you're close to them in terms of making threes, you're still up against it. Because they get so many easy baskets in terms of their fast breaking and with their ball moving in the half court. I think the rest, you know, both teams should be well rested. I think the extra rest definitely will help out Golden State in this game, in particular Steph Curry. You heard him mention earlier today. Me probably doesn't feel that much better than it did, but still able to practice without the brace on, and getting that amount of time off, you know, I mean, you can't beat it at this point in the year, getting those number, you know, five, 6 days off. 347-215-6180. We'll look at the Eastern Conference when we return on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number. A couple of NBA notes here. Knicks continue to search for a coach. I don't exactly know what the plan is for the Knicks. You've seen guys get hired. Nate McMillan recently got hired from Indiana, though. I don't think if you're a Knicks fan, you would want Nate McMillan, but Dave Jaeger got hired, saw last week. Frank Vogel. You have Frank Vogel, who the Knicks team, had somewhat of an interest for, but I don't know how serious of an interest that was. Knicks apparently have interest in Jeff Hornacek, who you just don't know. I mean, it'll be his second go around, but I don't know about what the Knicks, I get the sense that I heard this today, and it kind of makes sense. I get the sense that Phil does not want to bring in a coach, does not want to give up the control. Phil wants everything. He doesn't want a coach. But at the same time, he does not want to give whoever he brings in the proper amount of autonomy that they would need to in order to grow and succeed. He did a bad job. And again, I never was a Derek Fisher fan, but bottom line is you got to let a coach be his own man as a coach. You got to let him input his stuff. Not get caught up so much on his triangle offense and things of that nature. You gotta let the coach. either that or step down and coach yourself, which we know that he's not gonna do. So there's a thought process. There's a thought that maybe he's gonna keep Kurt Rambis on because that gives him the best of both worlds, not having a guy who he's gonna fully give total control to, but not having to come down from the stands and coach himself. So Kurt Rambis would be kind of like a puppet, which would be the worst thing to happen for the Knicks if Kurt Rambis entered the next season as a head coach. Like, you can't have that. You can't have Kurt Rambis as your head coach if you're a New York Knicks fan. You just can't. It just can't happen. And yeah, I mentioned this earlier, Nate McMillan getting a 3-year deal with the Indiana Pacers. He was their assistant the past couple of years. Listen, I thought Nate McMillan, when he first started his coaching career out, was going to be very good, especially when he's with Seattle. Took him to the Western Conference semifinals, lost a tough series against the San Antonio Spurs team. The Spurs team that were going, a very powerful Spurs team in 2006. A powerful Spurs team that year, or was it 2000? That might have been 2005. They lost that series to the Spurs, and they went on to win a championship that particular year. That was an excellent Spurs team. I mean, Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, all those guys were in the time, their respective times of their careers. But you talk about a guy having a third opportunity, that's where I kind of start getting nervous. Like, I'll give you a second chance. Like, depending on the situation, ownership, general manager, things don't work out the first time around, then the second chance, there's no problem with a guy getting a second chance. You started talking about chance number three after two failed stints. That's when I have to go get a top assistant. Like, I'm not giving a guy where it hasn't worked out in two previous places a job that fast. Nate McMillan, I thought when he initially became a head coach, was going to be very good, but it seems like the guy over his last, his last two, especially his last stint, just not that good. Like, he just has a ceiling where, get you to the playoffs, the first round, and that'll be it. If I'm Indiana, I look at that situation that maybe Bird just was comfortable with bringing in a guy who was with their current staff, and maybe he felt more that he could control that guy versus somebody like a Frank Vogel or Dave Jaeger who, frankly want to do their own thing. And we're not looking for a lot of help from the front office. And that's going to be an epidemic moving forward with these NBA coaches. How much autonomy is a coach actually going to have? Like, putting aside the obvious coaches, Popovich, Carlisle, Doc Rivers, some of the guys like that who we know that's not a question of how much power in terms of their philosophy and running the offense, what they want to run, and even the kind of players they want to have. General managers and these owners are too meddlesome when it comes to these coaches. Let the coach coach. You don't think about, you don't have the confidence in the guy and their ability to pick out a system or to play a certain style. That guy shouldn't be coaching. Shouldn't hire him. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, little more than 30 minutes. 30 minutes to Golden State, Oklahoma City game one. Of course, games one and two will be in Golden State. Realistically, you have to think that Oklahoma City has any chance of winning the series, or they will have to win one of these first two games and get a split. I think that this, frankly, will be the game for them to get. Starting off in game one. I think that coming off that series with a lot of momentum, Golden State, though challenged against Portland, still never got the sense they were ever in danger in that series. I think Oklahoma City could have a decent shot tonight. And if they're going to get one of the first two games, I think this would be the one for OKC to get. I feel like Golden State will get stronger as the series moves on. As far as the East goes, you have Toronto finally dispatches of Miami. Miami just physically just had nothing left in the tank. That's what you took from yesterday. They hung in there for relatively a half, second half, though. You could tell that physically it just wasn't there. The accumulation of injuries and just so much pressure on their top guys, whether it be Wade and Dang, the dam finally broke. Kyle Lowry, second straight game, having a 35-point game. You get 28 out of DeRozan, get enough out of a couple other guys, and there you go. Miami had no offense last night whatsoever. And listen, they're going to, Toronto did what it had to do. I think they might get one game from Cleveland. But Cleveland regular season versus Cleveland Mavericks, Toronto. I wouldn't put any stock in those particular matchups. I know Lowry had some big games against Cleveland. The one game Cleveland won was in Cleveland. The other two, Toronto took care of their home court, winning two at home against Cleveland. Again, I think it's going to be a walkover. I think it's going to be a walkover, but I can see Toronto being feistier than we may think they're going to be, based on the fact that they playing two game sevens. They're playing with house money right now. Nobody. I mean, people are thinking of them as just an absolute afterthought amongst the Final Four teams. I mean, everybody's talking about Oklahoma State, Golden State, and people are talking about, LeBron, throwing shade at Steph Curry with the MVP candidates. Nobody's barely even talking about bringing up Toronto. Now, again, had you got Miami, it would have been the storyline of, Wade, LeBron, Pat Riley, the whole Miami that whole Miami situation, Miami, LeBron, that would have been the storyline. But now, Toronto just, out of these four teams, Toronto is by far easily the least important out of these particular teams as far as, and people don't think, out of these three teams, people believe either one of these three teams can win a championship. We don't believe that Toronto can win a championship, which they can't. So, again, it's going to be very interesting to see Toronto tomorrow night playing with house money. They have absolutely nothing to lose. If they get swept, people say, well, we expected it to. Nobody's going to criticize the Toronto Raptors for losing in the conference finals, despite the fact that the Eastern Conference is not any good. People will say, hey, they won two playoff series, won two game sevens, got over the hump, and we'll take it from there. The Valanciunas injury hurts Toronto a lot. Because they're going to need to put up some points against Cleveland. I don't think defensively I can see them holding Cleveland down. So Toronto's going to need to get over 100 points to me to compete with Cleveland. Valanciunas was clearly, to me, their best, despite what Lowry has done in the past two games. Valanciunas was their best player over the course of the playoffs. He was, was having a tremendous series versus Miami. Played well against, of course, played well against Charlotte. I mean, guys throwing up like 18, shooting over 60%. So even with Whiteside, even against Whiteside, he was extremely effective. So we'll see how much if they can muster enough offense to even stay in this series versus Cleveland. But again, to me, this is a Cleveland runaway. Only way Cleveland could possibly even be challenged in this series if they start to somehow implode within them, and I don't see that. There's no indication based on the first eight playoff games that is going to happen. Again, Golden State, Oklahoma City should be a great, great game. I like Golden State in six games in this series. I think there's too many weapons. Once they were able to get over this hurdle with Steph Curry's injury, and that not be as serious as it was, to me, It was off and running that Golden State was going to run towards the finals and through the finals to win another championship. Like, once Steph Curry, to me, was back on the floor playing, 85 to 90% of what he was, Golden State is going to be, to me, galvanized by returning Steph Curry. And a team, and those times that they had to play without Steph Curry. So again, expecting a lot of excitement, should be very interesting moving forward as we are down now to the Final Four, the NBA playoffs. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Review. As always, you can catch us at iTunes. Rate and view the programs at itunes.apple.com. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. I will see you next time. So long.